proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host, Aaron Bronson, and today I'd like to share with you the second part in a series called When God is Silent, A Look at the Book of Esther. This material is based on an article written by Brother Howard Rothenberg, a Jewish believer, who serves with IBJM in Florida. This appeared in a recent issue for the Everlasting Nation magazine, published here at IBJM. If you'd like to receive a copy of the Everlasting Nation magazine, simply contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. This article has been a blessing to me, and I'm sure it will be to you as well. So let's continue this lesson by looking at the heroine of the story, that being Esther. She is described as fair and beautiful, and an orphan adopted by her cousin Mordecai. Her two names signify her in two different ways. As Hadassah, her Jewish given name, she is fragrant. Her beauty drew the attention of the officers of the king, and she was selected to be a candidate in this contest for the position of Queen of Persia. Unexplained but essential to this story is Mordecai's command to Esther not to reveal her Jewish identity or her connection with Mordecai. Thus, her Persian name, Esther, meaning concealed, gives us the essence of the events of this book. The true plot, the actual design of events, is hidden behind a series of ups and downs in this narrative. The beauty of Esther elevated her to the number one position in the eyes of the king and his court. His choice of Esther to be his wife was followed by a second banquet in her honor. Outwardly, it is a festive, magnificent promotion for a captive orphan woman, but the author reminds us of her concealed purpose in her name when he interjects, Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. That's from Esther 2, verse 20. Every incident in this narrative is in a definite sequence. Immediately after Esther's marriage to Ahasuerus, Mordecai, who held a high position in the palace, discovers and prevents a plot to kill the king. Mordecai alerted Esther of the danger to the king, and she in turn led the investigation, resulting in the execution of the traitors. In light of this, Mordecai's name is placed in the history book of Persia. So again, we have another event hidden in this history book, Mordecai's deliverance of the king. Again, timing is underscored in this narrative. It says that after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman the Agagite. The lineage of Haman offers us the clue to the underlying conflict that defines the historical events behind Purim. He is a descendant of Agag, the king of Israel's enemy, the Amalekites. Coming out of Egypt as Israel journeyed through the wilderness, Amalek attacked them. This was the beginning of an enduring conflict between these two irreconcilable foes, Israel and Amalek. Amalek's unrelenting hatred can be traced to his lineage, to Esau, Jacob's twin brother and a future permanent enemy, beginning in the womb of their mother. It was Moses that prophesied that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The core element in this narrative begins with a seemingly harmless slight by Mordecai against Haman, the newly installed head of state under the king, as Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. This ancient conflict continues to this day in the Middle East and explains Haman's vendetta against not only Mordecai, but his intent to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom. There is a personal element between this conflict between Haman and Mordecai, tied to his tribal lineage, that being of Benjamin. It was in violation of a command to kill Agag, the king of the Amalekites by Saul, a Benjaminite, that brought his final rejection to be king by Samuel the prophet. But the most important element of Haman's plot lies in the timing of his destruction. The exact day of the genocide, the 13th day of the Jewish month of Adar, was determined by casting of the Purim or the lots. So, the date has been set for the destruction of the Jews. As you can see here, the plot thickens as God is setting his plan to take place. So please join us next time as we continue our look at the book of Esther. If you'd like to hear this program again or any of our other archive programs, simply visit us at ibjm.org. And also as we close this program, let us remember the words of Psalm 122, verse 6, which says in Hebrew, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.